Yeah, you knew. I'm telling you, man, and I love that music that my guy Sean has put together right there. This is the first MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, and I want to welcome you guys all in. I'm so excited to be able to deliver and come to you in this format on this platform. Guys, don't get it twisted now. I want you watching me on TV because I love doing TV, but in TV, I really only get to talk really to you and at you. But on the Michael Irvin Podcast, right here on the MIP, I will get to speak with you. That's why I am here. And I got a great show for you today. A great show. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to probably the number one hater for the Dallas Cowboys in the world. And that's Stephen A. Smith. He wants me to slow down when I say his name. So let me slow down right now so you'll know what hater I will be banging around on the MIP. I'm throwing haymakers at this fella talking about our playmakers for the Dallas Cowboys. That's Stephen A. Smith. So you don't want to miss that. And towards the end of the show, stay around after that because I'm going to give you my first 88-second rant. But I want to start the first MIP with what I call no big deal. I want to take all of these stories that are getting the big headlines and tell you if they are a big deal or no big deal. So let's jump right into no big deal. And I start with the biggest story, the COVID outbreak that is going on in Tennessee. They have 8 people that have tested positive for COVID in Tennessee. And is this a big deal or no big deal? Let me tell you, and I hate to start this on the first time out, but this commingled in both areas for me. This really did commingle in both areas. The no big deal for me in this area is the reality. The reality, we knew there was no way. We all knew there was no way we were going to get through an NFL season without having someone show up positive. So we knew this was going to happen. That, to me, is no big deal that it happened because we don't have a bubble like the NBA. Guys are still living at home, moving around people. It's so many people on a football team than it is on a basketball team. So I knew this was going to happen. I knew we would have some COVID tests come back positive. To me, that's no big deal. But what is a very big deal is how the NFL handled it moving forward. Now, right now, they've already talked about moving the game to Monday or Tuesday, which to me, I was saying, yay, that's great. Because I don't mind telling you, when baseball had this outbreak, you remember the Miami Marlins had this big outbreak, and I was watching that so carefully, and I thought to myself, wow. I know it's unfortunate that it has happened, but I'm thinking purely about football. I'm sorry. I was thinking purely about football. I was saying I'm glad that it has happened in baseball and everybody did not go crazy bonkers saying, shut it down, shut everything down. We have to shut it down right now. No, they did not do that. They let you fight through it without killing you in the media that would have gotten so much pressure that you had to shut it down. So this is the big deal. How do you handle this now moving forward? Now, there's going to be a competitive disadvantage for any team like Tennessee because, hey, Pittsburgh, they're still practicing. They're going to be a competitive disadvantage. They can't practice till Saturday. They can't come together until Saturday, and they're trying to play a game. They moved it to Monday or Tuesday. But we got to understand that there's a lot of things that are going to happen differently in this year. Ultimately, that's why I say whatever team wins the Super Bowl this year, hey, that it should be an asterisk by that team. And the asterisk has to be denoted as they won under more difficult circumstances because COVID makes a more difficult circumstances. So it touches both the Tennessee situation. It's a no big deal because we knew it was coming, but it is a big deal as we watch how the NFL must handle this moving forward. Incidentally, too, the team they played, the Minnesota Vikings, they had zero people test positive, so they'll get an opportunity to keep moving forward. Baby, you know we've been waiting on football. We use basketball and baseball. We just date them until our wives come along, and that's football, and we can't have anything take that off the field. That's the big deal moving forward. Let's go to the next one here because I want to talk about this right here. Doc Rivers out with the LA Clippers. To me, that's a big deal. Are you joking? Doc Rivers, I consider to be one. I thought Doc was one of the best coaches. I think he still is one of the best coaches in the NBA. You fired Doc after the Clippers did not make at least the Western Conference Finals, and I understand that. I understand you have high expectations for Doc, but you got to look at what's also you've been giving to Doc. Yes, he has the talent. He has all the talent in this physical skill set, shoulders down. But to do anything great and to win championships, you got to be right, shoulders up. And the LA Clippers were one of the teams that voted not to go to the bubble because they knew how it would affect them to be in that bubble. They voted not to go. They got outvoted. They had to go. And then we hear about all the problems and even some of the serious problems of depression and situations that Paul George dealt with. So we know these are some things that are not coming about from poor coaching. It's coming about from the situation at hand. And you got Riddle, one of the best coaches? Man, that blew my mind. That to me is a big deal because it shows everybody and tells everybody. You know when people always tell you, when you were growing up, talking about, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It only matters how you play the game. Ballmer in the NBA just said, don't believe them people. That's a lie. You better win. Period, because that's the reality of playing sports. Big deal, but I know Doc, one of the best out there, he'll get picked up soon. Already here, other teams are calling him, waiting to get him on their site so they can try to sign this man. He's an incredible coach. We'll see what happens. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but you know, I am a brand new grandfather again for the second time. I have a granddaughter named Carmen. I just had a granddaughter named Brooklyn just last week. And then I hear this week about Joe Montana. Joe Montana having to snatch his granddaughter out of the hands of some lady that walked in his house and tried to kidnap her. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. It's Joe Montana. First of all, when you hear it, it's almost like people just said, oh, she just wondered in the house that maybe we need to check some things mentally to make sure she's okay. But I'm sitting there thinking, there's a lot of houses around. How do you wonder in the house with the baby? So no. So you've been watching this situation. You know that baby is in that house. You may even know that's Joe Montana's grandbaby, and you went and tried to steal that baby anyway. This is why I absolutely pay for that lady at the front of my gated community. Because I know I got my grandbabies here. And there's no way I could ever breathe a day of air if I let anybody take this special gift that God has given me away. Joe Montana, man, praise God you were there. Praise God for that little baby. That is a big deal. You got to join me every week on this no big deal. Big deal. I love this. But I tell you what's a big deal, what's always a big deal, every time he opens his mouth and talk about my boys, the Dallas Cowboys, and the fervor in which he spew about my Dallas Cowboys, it's always a big deal. That's why I got him next on the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Stephen A. Smith and I lock horns next. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. I just rewatched that great Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson matchup. Wow, what a great game that was. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. Learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and technique. Learn from the best like Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson, Devontae Adams, and many more. The NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. All right, I'm sitting here with my boy, Stephen A. Smith. This is the first MIP. And I'm going to give you the MIP, Stephen A. That's the Michael Irvin Podcast. I love that. That's like that MIB, all VIP, all wrapped up in one. All of that. That's what you get right here. And as a matter of fact, Stephen A., that's why I got you for the first guest on this show. How you doing, my brother?
First order of business, man. Before I congratulate you on the Michael Irvin Podcast, me being the first guest, I'm honored and all this stuff. But when you introduce me, you slow it down. You slow it down for effect. You understand? That's what you do. You don't just rush it. You don't sit there and go like this, Stephen A. Smith. No. Stephen A. Smith. You let it marinate a little bit. Let it sink in. You understand? Because I know you're usually commentating as opposed to hosting. But now you are hosting.
Yes, I like
that. Got to give the dramatic effect. Like I introduced you all the years I've introduced you. You don't see me rushing or playmaker Michael Irvin. Anyway, no.
Stephen A. Hey. I got to take those lessons, buddy. I always take those lessons. That's what you do. Whatever you get in, hey, learn from the best. You have been the best for a long time, Stephen A. I was thinking about back to those early 2000 days when we were over at BDSSP, Best Damn Sports, and watching all of that and watch what you've turned this thing into now is just incredible, man. That's been a hell of a journey for you.
It has. It really has, man. And I'm very blessed and very honored to be in the position that I'm in. And it's not me, man. I mean, I got a loud mouth and I was a reporter for many years and I try to know what I'm talking about. But I often use the line that I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are and I steal from them. That's basically been me in a nutshell in terms of that and the blessings that I've had. There's a whole bunch of cats in this game that are incredibly gifted. And for some reason, I've resonated with the masses for many years and have been able to propel myself to this level through God's grace and beyond. So I know I'm blessed. I know I'm lucky. I know I'm fortunate. But I also know that I busted my tail to get here. I didn't take shortcuts. I wasn't lackadaisical or lazy in any way. I worked hard to be in the position that I'm in. And now that I'm here, you know, I do what people like you did. And so many great athletes throughout the years, because journalists don't like to say this. I don't mind saying it, but not enough journalists really, really articulates to y'all as professional athletes what y'all mean to us, because the level of dedication and focus and sacrifice that it takes for y'all to be as great as you have been at what y'all do as athletes, as reporters, we steal from that. We really, really do. And for me, I've always looked at athletes and I've marveled at their greatness, but not because they were great on the field or the court of play. It's because of what I knew it took to get to that point and to maintain it and sustain it for a lengthy period of time. And when you see stuff like that, you can't help but have just the utmost admiration for all of y'all.
And I love that, Stephen A., because people don't see, and that's why I love your story. People have to see that drive is not, you know, we admire it in athletes, but that drive is in every form of life and every walk, and people are driving and driving towards something, and you need to know how to grab whatever makes you tick and go pull the best out of it. And I want to get back to that in a minute, but one of the things that I know drives you, I want to start with, and that's watching my boys, my Cowboys, lose football games. Now, I want to know, and I know I got you on this show, but you were not. This is not First Take. This is the MIP. This is the Michael Irvin podcast. I'm not going to bring you on and just let you bang on my boy's head. Let me tell you what I saw and where I am, and then I will get your input on
this. You need to brace your audience that I was watching you yesterday before the game. I watched you preach and I heard the music, the sermon, I heard the pastor talking, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
Wait a minute. Let's be real here now, because as analysts, we got to look at this thing. See, I mean, I think sometimes what happens is we get caught up in the heart and not see things in the head. Now I see things. I know I have a heart, but I make sure I analyze with my mind. See it as I see it. Now,
except for when it comes to the Cowboys.
Especially when it comes to the Cowboys. Especially. Let me tell you why I say that. Everybody in the NFL is saying what? It's saying what about the Seahawks? That's the best team right there in the NFC right now. Did you say that? That's the best team in the NFC right now.
I'm in the Packers, yes.
Okay, them and the Packers. So it's two best teams right there. And the Dallas Cowboys coming off that miraculous win. And if you do the numbers aren't good.
That was divine intervention right there, yes. Yes. It was either divine intervention or it was idiocy on the part of the Falcons. I'll take either.
Oh, my God. That was heart, guts, and fight, determination, all of those things. And the same things, you saw some of them, my point, against the baddest team in the league right now, the Seattle Seahawks.
The baddest offense, not defense. And if you recall, you even went on the air prior to the game and talked about how their secondary was a bit soft. It was there to be exploited.
No doubt.
Talked about how with CeeDee Lamb, your buddy, wearing your number, and you got Michael Gallup, and you got Amari Cooper, and you got Ezekiel Elliott, we should score on them with no problem. That's what you said, right? I understood that, okay? But you never bragged about Seattle's defense, okay? So stop that.
I gauge them all, Adam. I give Bobby Wagner some, but it's not the Legion of Boom. They're trying to get back to that, and they didn't put the pressure. They didn't get pressure, even though they got better pressure on Dak than they did on Cam the week before. So that did surprise me. But still, it's the best team, and the Cowboys played them not to a good game, but to the very last play of the game. Now, Cowboys have a new coach. That system is in place. I see this as a good thing. I don't take good losses. I don't believe in good losses. But I
believe it. Sounds like you're doing that to me. Well, go ahead.
That's believe exactly in good growth right in
a
loss.
It sounds like it's a good loss. That's how it sounds you're coming across.
Oh, God.
That's exactly like that. That's exactly how it sounds.
That sounds like and good growth within a loss. Not a good loss, but good growth within a loss. And that's good growth to find out that you are one play away from the best team in the NFC and probably in the NFL. So that means you're closer than you think. Closer than people like Stephen A. Smith will tell them. Just because everyone gets a sweaty crotch and inner thigh chafing doesn't mean you have to go through life with a sweaty crotch and inner thigh chafing. Old Spice has new Below Deck Powder Spray to help you feel drier and cleaner down below. And new Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick to help prevent inner thigh chafing. available in the family planning aisles at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspice below deck.
Well, here's the beauty of your soliloquy right there. And I love it. I love it because you don't realize that the more you talk, the more you incriminate yourself. Let me give you an example. See, in the past, you'd be on the air on
I've been in too many courtrooms to know when I talk that I can indict myself.
Trust me, you do it. Because here's the deal. Because, see, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, the three-time Super Bowl champion that he is, once upon a time, championships or nothing. Now we take moral victories every chance we get. That's number one. Number two, when Michael Irvin is on Sunday mornings, usually we don't really see him until the following Sunday morning. He ain't on Sunday nights. He ain't on Monday nights. We gonna see him on Thursday. I get that. We see him on Thursday night football. We got all of that because he's doing a hell of a job with that too. But it's really Thursday and Sunday. So usually it takes a few days to marinate. But now with the MIP, the Michael Irvin podcast, you gotta show up the next day. The next day and preach that gospel. So what did we see yesterday? We saw Ezekiel Elliott rush for 34 yards. I believe it was about 34 yards. We saw Dak Prescott throw for 472 yards. But I also think we saw him throw two interceptions. I also think those wide receivers that we've seen, didn't they drop about six passes? I think they dropped about six passes. I think the number was six. Six passes of Dak Prescott that they dropped. And oh, by the way, that's on their strong point offensively. Defensively, you got a dude that's all world. He's obviously had his issues and his troubles in the past, but you can make a legitimate argument that Aldon Smith is a defensive MVP right now the way he's balling. He's been an absolute monster. Make no mistake about it. Had about eight pressures last night, about three quarterback sacks. We get all of that, right? But what about that secondary? What happened? A matter of fact, you talk about how close it was. Well, if DK Metcalf don't play around and get the ball knocked out of his hand, I'm sorry, it ain't that close. So guess what? As you point out all these things, remember, you don't get 3 or 4 days to marinate on things like you've been doing for years. Now the MIP exists. The MIP with me as your first guest. I'm here to enlighten you that you don't get sit around for 3 days and come up with some excuses. Oh, no.
I love your analysis.
This is what you say. What are you talking about?
You're giving me you're proving my point.
I'm not. I'm doing nothing.
I feel like me and you, we're like my lady right now. When we're having a discussion, I'm saying, you know, we're saying the same thing. What did you just say? Look at the mistakes the Cowboys made. You just brought them all up, the drop passes. You just brought all the issues up the Cowboys just made. And they were still one play away from beating the best team in the NFC with all those mistakes. That's my point exactly. That's my point.
You just lied to America.
What are you talking about?
You just told America that you and your lady usually agree. Now, what man says that?
When we get in these discussions, sometimes we're waiting to speak and we're not listening. And if we listen, we're saying the same thing. So when I listen, I heard you say the Cowboys made this mistake and that mistake.
Most men say, you're right, baby. We concede because we know we can't win, but we don't say we agree. No, we concede.
We could be saying the same thing. You are saying what I'm saying, Stephen A. Understand this. Those drop passes, they don't make them next time. Those mistakes you just brought up, like the penalties, oh my God, they don't make them next time. I thought the referees had something against the Cowboys. The penalty was coming. I was like, oh my God, I didn't tweet about it. I said, okay, so they don't make them next time. You talked about the one play that went through the end zone. The Cowboys are one play away with all of those bad plays. Go clean that up and get back in that game, and different things will happen.
How many years have you sat here in recent memory saying the Cowboys are talented and they're good enough, but? It's always a but. There's always something. I'm telling you right now, the Dallas Cowboys, roster-wise, has a Super Bowl contender. They will not win as always. As always. The last time, the last time the Cowboys won, you were playing.
You said it for years and you put it on Coach Garrett. Are you not giving Mike McCarthy any credit here? Are you putting Mike McCarthy on the same level as Jason Garrett?
No,
right now.
Mike McCarthy is better than Jason Garrett. He will be better than Jason Garrett, but he's not there yet based on the first three games, A, and B. What I'm saying to you is very simple. The NFC is stronger than ever. Green Bay is there. New Orleans is still there. Tampa is there. L.A., Seattle, and San Francisco there. And San Francisco's there with Mullins instead of Garoppolo, with no George Kittle, with no Deebo Samuels. I'm sorry. When you're the Dallas Cowboys and you got to sift through and maneuver through the NFC, where are you going? Who are you going to knock off? The answer is not a damn soul. Since you have retired, since Emmitt has been gone, since Troy has been gone, guess what? Not only have they not won, they haven't even been to a conference title game. They've won two playoff games in 25 years. How are we debating this? How are you acting like you have credibility and credence to your argument? You know better. Stop it.
Because all that matters is right now in the right combination of things. And Stephen, again, you proved my point. You just said Mike McCarthy is going to get better, and that better will be this year. And wait, and let me finish this. You keep bringing up teams in the NFC that are outside the NFC East. I ain't got to worry about the teams in the NFC. I got to worry right now about the NFC East. And when they take you out of the NFC East, they'll be ready.
We thought about that last year. And then y'all went from Thanksgiving to Christmas and couldn't win a game.
My holiday was beautiful.
My holiday was beautiful.
Who can beat them in the East right now?
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Now, so I got to the end of the year to get right, to get ready for the rest of the team. I'm going to beat everybody in the East and win the East.
And I have 25 years of history to show that it will amount to nothing. It will amount to nothing because by the way, last part about Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl in 2010 and never got back to the Super Bowl. Who was his quarterback?
Okay. We can talk
with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. He couldn't get back to the Super Bowl.
And
I'm supposed to believe that with Dak Prescott, who I like, and I think he deserves his money, I'm supposed to believe that he's going to be able to do it with Dak Prescott? Nope.
I'm surprised, too, with the type of union and relationship in the way Dak and all these people speak within the organization, within that locker room, about Mike McCarthy. So maybe, as he said, he's mended some ways and he's gotten better, not just with the X's and O's, but with people, because that's the most important thing. But I'm not going to sit here and let you bang on my Cowboys all day. As I said, I control this.
I didn't bring him up.
I'm the MVP here. I just gave you that.
You know what we're all about here in Texas? Grilling. Barbecues. Cookouts. Steak, man. If you're missing that in your life like I am, then you need to try Omaha Steaks. For Pete's sakes, let's eat steak. Has there been some kind of mistake? Not with Omaha Steaks. I know you've heard of Omaha Steaks before, but what does that mean? It means perfectly aged, 100% American grain finished beef for the ultimate in tenderness, juiciness, and flavor delivered right to your door. The Omaha Steakhouse Experience delivers everything you need to enjoy the finest steakhouse dinner in the comforts of your home. Iconic steaks, classic size, decadent desserts, and more. Going to the grocery store has become such a hassle these days. So, skip the crowded aisles and masks and have Omaha Steaks ship all of your food safely to your doorstep. That's the world's greatest steaks, plus premium meats, easy meals, everything you need to ensure your family is stocked up for the long haul. All backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. Right now, my listeners can get an exclusive gourmet grill-out package. This incredible package includes bacon-wrapped filet mignon, top sirloin, chicken breast, pork chops, burgers and franks, side dishes, and the world-renowned ultra-delicious caramel apple tartlets, and more. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code IRVIN into the search bar. For a limited time, Omaha Steaks will add 2 pounds of extra burger and gourmet jumbo franks free with your order. Omaha Steaks has been bringing people together for over 100 years. Enjoy family, enjoy friends, enjoy the best steak of your life. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter IRVIN in the search bar for an exclusive offer not available anywhere else. Order today, and Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks to your order free. Now, what we're going to do, let's do a quick round table since I got you. And I want to take this time wisely. This is everybody. Everybody just leans on this knowledge that you have. You know what I mean? So let's do a little round table. I'm going to throw out some topics, man. And you just talk to me about them. Let's get into that, which I think is fascinating right now, Stephen A. We got the MLB, Stanley Cup, NBA, great UFC fights the other night, man. 2 championship fights, both ended in a knockout. I love that stuff. In the NFL, man, all going on at the same time. Now, you and me, we love sports. We love sports. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. But do you think that's sports overload for the people?
It is sports overload, but it can't be helped, man. And I think that it's important, like, we either consider this the greatest country in the world or we don't. The reality of the situation is that a monkey wrench has been thrown in all of our plans. The coronavirus pandemic has ravaged the world at this particular moment in time and has affected the United States of America more so than anybody else, with deaths approaching 200,000 people in this country. So, and we have to understand that it wasn't planned this way. And we went a few months having nothing. And this is what I don't understand. Now, if we went from having basketball, right, to having everything thrown into the mix, we could complain about stuff interrupting the basketball momentum. But to go March, April, May, June with nothing and literally struggling as a nation, wondering when we get back on our feet, is wearing a mask enough? Is wearing gloves enough? Is engaging in social distancing enough? We know, where's the virus? Where's the vaccine? Is there any kind of therapy to offset it? When are we going to have fans in attendance? All of these questions. And then now we get all of this back and we see the tremendous sacrifice that has been made by all these professional athletes and these sports leagues doing what it takes to put stuff together for our entertainment, to try and return us to some level of normalcy, to give us something to distract us from the trials and tribulations that we ultimately cannot avoid. How are we complaining? You know, to me, it's like, wait a minute. I've never been more grateful to the NFL in my life. Now, the draft was virtual. Free agency went on, okay? And then after
when
that,
the NFL said, we're moving forward. Everybody said,
NFL said, we're right. moving forward.
Right.
The hell with it.
I was so
and
happy
I'm
they
like,
kept moving.
Man, I couldn't thank them enough. The NBA, I've been covering the NBA for 25 years. Yeah. To see the NBA players, remember, Mike, if they lose, they go home. And these, I challenge anybody to tell me a time where they've seen better games, a collection of better games. These brothers were scratching and clawing and competing like they didn't want to go home when we knew everybody wanted to go home because they prioritized winning and making that sacrifice to go for it. I can't thank these guys enough, man. They've saved us. They have saved us.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Stephen. I'm getting chill bumps even hearing you talk about it. And it takes something for me to get hyped when you talk, because every time I hear your mouth talking about my Cowboys, I hear a low. That's why any kind of happiness. But what you just talked about right there, is real deal stuff right there. Because like you talked about how they're scrapping and fighting, we got to get that in us right now.
That's right.
And that pandemic knocked us back. You can say what you want. It knocked us back, man.
Hey, remember, First Take, we didn't have one day off. When the pandemic hit, we had to come on the air without any games to talk about. So we're talking about the pandemic, and then we're getting into the social justice issues, and we're going into politics, and we're doing all of this other stuff that, you know, and I mean, it's on the fly, and it's coming at us in droves. And because people didn't have sports to lean on, they were also despondent, distressed, but they were also looking at people like me and you and others and like, what y'all got for us? And we had to do our job.
Yeah, and kept trying to come up with interesting things.
Yeah.
Really, to get my own. Because I'm gonna tell you something. I'm as hyped as anything, you know. And I stay hyped, and I love life. But it was hard. It was hard getting through that pandemic. And when Dak Prescott brought up that he had gone through depression, I said to myself, a lot of people went through depression, didn't have the heart to mention it. Then I'm telling you, man, it was serious, hard stuff and hard to go through. And when I finally started watching sports again, I was like, okay, you see the fight in people. And that's what we do. We tell stories. Right. We see the fight in people that you can try to glean something from this fight to put in your fight. You know what I mean? That's what I think sports brings.
And because they were doing it, we didn't have an excuse not to.
Right.
It's like, how can I sit up here and look at LeBron and Kawhi and Luka Doncic and all of these boys? How could I look at them go out there and perform? And I'm like this, man, I need days off, man. I don't feel like working. How could I do that? I can't do that. You know, so everybody got a job to do. They're doing their job. Do yours.
Do yours. And that's what you were talking about on what we grab when we pull on those guys. Speaking of LeBron, you brought him up. I want to talk about LeBron. I heard you damn you talking about LeBron. He never get man. He can never get past Michael Jordan to me. I mean, wait a minute. How you gonna just there you go again, Stephen? Hear what I'm saying. That's in your heart. See what I'm talking about? You can't be making determining factors in your heart that will last forever. If LeBron wins this year, next year, and he still can't be better than Michael Jordan, that's in your heart. That's not what you're seeing out of your analytical mind. How can you say that?
First of all, don't speak for me. I can speak for myself. It is what I'm saying out of my analytical mind. I'm just expressing it passionately. I didn't accuse you of speaking from your heart when you were giving a sermon yesterday and leaning back and calling on the gods to descend upon the Cowboys so they'd win a game over the Seahawks. I attributed it to your football expertise. You just did it with passion. Why can't I do that? That's what I did. That's number one. Number two. There's something to be said. Like, for example, when you look at your numbers, and I'm being very serious here. You look at your numbers, right? Your numbers are not the same as Jerry Rice. Your numbers are not the same as Terrell Owens. Your numbers are not the same as Randy Moss. Now, Jerry Rice is a different category. But there are not people that would look at Randy Moss and look at a Terrell Owens and just look at numbers and say the playmaker doesn't belong in the same class as them. You know why? Because you were a champion. And it wasn't just that you were a champion. You didn't come along. You weren't some Johnny come lately. You were there when y'all were like 1-15. If I remember a story that was correct, that was told, because you know this better than me, because it's your life, Jimmy Johnson comes on board. And Jimmy Johnson's like, what we need to do to fix this and get this steered in the right direction? He came to you. And you were like, this dude need to go, that dude need to go, this dude. You weren't playing games. Why? Because you had suffered and you had been there from the beginning and you scratched and clawed your way. So when the championship was captured and you had to go up against San Francisco and you had to go up against these boys, you sat up there and you were ready because you knew what price you paid to get to that point. I'm not taking anything away from LeBron. I don't think it's an insult to say that he's on a Mount Rushmore of basketball, one of the top 2-3 players in the history of basketball. But when I think about Jordan, I think about the level of competition that he was going against back in the days with Bird and them in Boston, with Isaiah and the Bad Boy Pistons, with Dumars and Lambert and all of these boys. Then I think about him going six straight full years that he played. He beat Magic the first go round. He beat Drexler and the boys in Portland the second go round. He beat Barkley and Marley and Kevin Johnson third go round, retired, played baseball, came back with 17 games left in the regular season, 94-95, lost that.
to Nick Anderson and Shaq and Penny Hardaway, came back a full season later and destroyed them. Not only won 72 games, but swept them in the conference finals, then took out Utah and took out, right before then, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp before he became Sean Klump. You took out Karl Malone and John Stockton, not once, but twice. And I'm saying in an 8-year period, when you played all season, you never lost at all. And not only did you never lose, you went to an NBA Finals. You never even allowed it to get to a seventh game. Not to mention the fact that in your career, you averaged plus 30 on 49% shooting or better for 7 consecutive years against old school tactics. They invented rules to stop you. They butchered you. They beat you. I'm looking at it now. LeBron, as great as he was, in the Eastern Conference, the challenges were not the same. And I looked at how he performed in the finals against Dallas and things of that nature. What he ultimately elevated to, Jordan came in with that inside. Like Michael Irvin came in with that. That matters to me. And yeah, that's
and I understand that.
I have.
And I understand that, but you said a few things in there that's mind-boggling. Now, because first, let's go back to what you talked about, the level of talent that Jordan had to contend with. Are you saying that the key players there then were more talented? They were not more gifted and talented than these. Jamal, Jamal Murray, all these, they could score with anybody.
CeeDee Lamb, one could argue, is more talented than Michael Irvin was. Okay?
More physical.
Right. Right. But because of Michael Irvin, CeeDee Lamb knew what to become. I don't ignore that.
Right.
And not only that, the style of play. You know, if you know anything about the NBA, which you do, you know it's soft as cottonelle tissue. You get a foul for having bad breath.
Right, right.
Back in the day.
And that's what he said.
But back in the day, you could mug somebody.
Oh, too, Stephen. You don't think I get mad when I see dudes? Man, they don't even know what a bang eight is. A bang eight means you're going to get banged in the mouth when you catch this ball.
There you go.
So I understand that. I understand that, and those, the rules have changed in that way. But Michael Jordan did not have – Michael had – maybe Clyde Drexler was the only physical gifted guy like Jordan playing at the time.
I got news for you. Barkley was better than Clyde Drexler.
Okay, and maybe Barkley and Drexler, even though Barkley played a different position.
Even though Barkley was a scorer.
Was more
Gary
down low.
But one of the greatest defensive players ever lived.
Is every team got a Michael Jordan on it now? Somebody that has those physical skill sets. Maybe they don't know how to play the way he played. I agree with you on that. I agree. And maybe they don't have the heart that he has, the drive that he has. But then that says something. But let me ask you, then why don't that say something about LeBron? Because LeBron, what you just said, he's taking those guys that you just talked about, guys that don't have, that maybe have the physical skill set, but not the heart, and he's putting the heart in them. I'm just telling you, he's putting the heart in them.
He
didn't just do it one place. He did it in multiple places.
I'm not denying any of that.
And he got them all to a final. Do you think Jordan could have led the athletes of today? You think Jordan could have led the way Jordan is right now? You think these athletes would have taken his leadership?
I think they would have had no choice because his greatness backed it up. They would have held him accountable if he wasn't great. But when your greatness, and you know this, when your greatness backs it up, then you get to hold everybody accountable because you can literally point to and accuse them of not doing their part. And nobody wants that responsibility placed on their shoulders. See, when the problem is that you got everybody, you got a slew of teams that has a star who thinks they're the Jordan of the franchise. The problem is
they have physical gifts. They have physical gifts.
Right. But because of that, they think they're the Jordan of the franchise.
Right.
We don't revere Jordan because Jordan was a great athlete. We revere him because he was a great athlete who closed the deal by winning and was so committed. You saw The Last Dance, you saw the docuseries, and he was like this: win at any cost. Who can relate to that better than the playmaker? At any cost. How many times do you see dudes playing in today's game? There's always a cost. Not any cost. There's a price they're not willing to play. To pay. You got guys, they don't want to put, they come back. Michael Irvin, you watched him 2 years ago, 3 years ago to now. Same game. Nothing's new. Same game. You got, all you do, you get paid $30 million a year. Same game. Same J, same move, same speed, same athleticism. There's nothing that evolves. And I'm saying to you, they think they're Jordan and Jordan for their respective franchise, but they are not. LeBron, mad respect and love to him. He deserves all of our profound respect. He did go to Miami and join D-Wade and Bosh. That did dramatically tip the scales in the Eastern Conference. Remember that. Right. When he went back to Cleveland, he did have Kyrie and Kevin Love. Let's not ignore that.
Blame LeBron for using the rules that's available to him.
I'm not knocking him.
In that same last dance, we saw how stuck Scottie Pippen was. So athletes were stuck then. Athletes were stuck. They couldn't move. They couldn't unionize and come up with great teams. So he has to play in the area they're playing in.
But here's where you're not fair. If we said LeBron couldn't play, don't talk to us. That's different. The discussion is he the GOAT? Nothing else. He's already, we've already, think about this. I just said, Michael Irvin, that LeBron James is a top, the NBA existed since 1946. It became the NBA in 1950. It is 2020. And in the 70 to 74 year history of basketball, I have said LeBron James is top three all time. And right. People go like this, why are you hating? Does that sound sensible?
If you are a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Irvin. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Irvin. netsuite.com/Irvin.
Does that sound sensible?
Steve. I ain't worried about what people are telling you. What I'm telling you is you can't be getting these shows mixed up. I didn't ask you about LeBron James being the GOAT. I ask you why he can't ever be the GOAT in your mind. I asked you what you said today.
And I told you.
And even if he won the next three championships, you're telling me he still can't. And that's impossible. That's impossible. Yeah. If he wins the next three championships, he still can't be the GOAT.
I'm still gonna point to the fact that he's lost six.
I gotta let you run.
He's lost six titles.
Yeah. But in a different time, when people when Boston was able to build a big three, when Kawhi can run over and go, it's a different time. Kawhi can run and go add to a team like Toronto. So it's just a different time.
Mad respect. Kobe Bryant went to seven finals, won five. If LeBron wins this year, and I believe he will, I picked him at the beginning of the season, he'll still have one less than Kobe.
I'm going to leave it right there on the great Kobe Bryant on this basketball. Let me hit you real quick on just some things on football. Now, we watched Russell Wilson the other day. Well, Russell Wilson, man, incredible. He had 14 touchdowns right now. Everybody's going crazy about it. We watched when they did not hand that ball to Marshawn Lynch. And now this team, and we say you should have handed it to him. Everybody says that it was a running team. But now it's truly as metamorphosis into Russell Wilson's team. How is it that we don't ever think about him in the MVP voting? And tell me also, is it seems like we are everybody's on a campaign to correct that mistake now.
It's a travesty that he was never considered in the last few years to be a league MVP because he is phenomenal and he's special. He he's class personified as well because he's a leader. Yeah. And he represents, he deserves to be the face of a franchise because of how he leads and how he conducts himself, because all of those things are incredibly important. But the other side to it is that I think he was hurt by the success Seattle previously had when the Legion of Boom's there. Because even before their ending had arrived, you saw Seattle pushing it instead of gradually accepting it. They pushed it, which is why they gave Marshawn. They took the ball out of Marshawn Lynch's hands and let Russell Wilson throw that interception in the Super Bowl to Malcolm Butler, which is one of the idiotic plays that Pete Carroll, it will be synonymous with his career. He's lucky he's still a coach after that, as great as he is. That's how bad that call was. But what I'm saying to you is that in the end, you know, when you piggyback off of such greatness like Russell Wilson was able to do at that particular moment in time in his career, it does usually take some time for people to gravitate towards you and embrace the greatness that you obviously have, because that wasn't the case back when your defense was so great. And that's what I think has hurt him. And I do think people are in a rush to try and make up for it now. But he's making that easy to do because he looks absolutely sensational right now.
Yeah, he is. I agree, man. And I knew just yesterday. I said, you can't keep Russell within 3 or 7 and expect to win that football game.
You did say that. During your sermon, you did say that.
He's that bad of a boy. In this NFL, man. Hey, Stephen A., right quick. 7 guys lose ACLs. Who do you put this blame on with all of these injuries that's going on?
No, it's just it's the pandemic, because I don't think that guys have had the opportunity. And you know this better than me. I never played football, never wanted to. But, you know, watching the sport and covering it for nearly a quarter century the way that I have, you watch these guys and preseason matters. And when you have no preseason, and to some degree, we're acting like training camps were normal, but they were not normal. They were compromised because guys couldn't be together as much as they could. You had coronavirus testing going on and all of these. There's been so many different things that have compromised the success of these guys, especially in the sport of football. I can't blame anybody for that at all. No, not team officials, not even the athletes themselves. You can only do what you can do. When it comes to the NBA, though, I will tell you what excited me about the pandemic. I said too many people applaud dudes' greatness. They don't applaud the greatness of their habits. Like, for example, we talk about how LeBron James, 260-pound specimen, takes such beautiful care of himself. LeBron James, well, shoot, he can afford to do it. He's making $35 million a year. That's what people are saying. Do you know there's quite a few players in the NBA that are getting paid more than LeBron James? How come they ain't take care of their body as well? The physical specimen that he is. Yeah, you don't have to. You can't be 260. You can't have, might not have muscles coming out of your ear. But in terms of conditioning, he doesn't have a monopoly on that.
To it.
Why at age 35 in his 17th season in the NBA is he looking more fresh and energized than y'all, who are younger and hasn't and don't have that mileage on your body that he has because you haven't been to your 10th NBA finals? What's your excuse? Too many times we got these guys out here, you get paid all of this money. And what we're not talking about is, what are you doing in the off season? Have you prepared yourself? Remember, the NBA postponed its season. They never canceled. That means you knew that eventually it was coming back.
Right. It was coming.
Why the hell weren't you ready? That's your fault. That matters.
Ask you something. Right. And to that point that you're talking about, the commitment that these players have, do you believe now, and we'll go back to those injuries in the NFL, because that's what I heard, in NFLPA, they're monitoring how many practices you have running up to a game. You know, in the last CBA, we want to get the number of practices down. Man, we were practicing 2-3 times a day, full pads. We just went. You just go. You know, now it's almost you got to have a governing meeting about practices and how many practices we can have. Are they hurting themselves by doing it?
I think they're hurting themselves, but it's not with malice intent, or it's not because they're lazy or anything like that. I think they're doing that in an effort to prevent injuries. But right. The flip side to it is that these same dudes will tell you, if you pull them to the side, they would tell you, man, you got to put yourself through it. That's how you prepare your body to deal with duress. By putting yourself through that duress, your body familiarizes itself with it. And as a result, it's better equipped to handle whatever duress is going to come your way down the line. You've taught me that. Many of y'all have taught me that. So what I'm saying to you is that if you know that as an athlete, essentially, why would you push for your players' association for you to practice less? Because practicing more or positioning yourself to deal with that duress might better equip you to stay healthy. Or maybe it's because you have other priorities rather than football. And if that is the case, be honest about it. And a lot of them are not, as you well know.
A lot of them are not. And they love the lifestyle, but it's not their lifestyle. I want you to live it, love it, and everything, not just the game or the lifestyle it gives to you, man. Before I let you get out of here, Stephen, you talked about push through it in your career, man. And I've watched you work up, you know, and from a number of shows, but go right back, get knocked down on the deck, and get back up and fight again. And you climb now to the top of the hill, man. Give me a knockdown point that almost knocked you out, but you had to push through.
I think for me personally, Mike, is the thing that almost knocked me out was when my mother passed away in 2017. I spoke about that recently because I brought it up when it came to Dak Prescott, and it's not something that I really get into, but, you know, she's the greatest human being that I've ever known. And, you know, to lose her was just incredibly, incredibly devastating for me. And, you know, I was never, quote unquote, diagnosed with depression, whatever, but I was depressed, man. I wanted to die. I really did. And the 2 years that followed, or almost the 2 years that followed, was just hell for me. But, you know, I've been very blessed and fortunate because I got a wonderful family. I got two beautiful daughters. I got 13 nieces and nephews. I got four older sisters. I got a slew of friends in and out of the business, including yourself, who've always been there for me and shown me nothing but love and uplifted me and reminded me that I got a hell of a lot more to give. And I owe it to a lot of people to continue to give that. And so, you know, also, I think the thing that propelled me is that, you know, I've come to realize through the words of others what I mean in this business. You know, there's so many people, as you well know, I don't quote everybody and I don't tell everybody everything that I know. But there's so many brothers and sisters that reach out to me, that thank me and tell me what they need from me because of the platform that I have. And so for me, I've always considered myself a messenger and a conduit to bring the real to the public that other people might not be in a position to bring, and to make sure that I disseminate a message that's going to resonate. And I'm constantly thinking about progression and the progression of us as a community and us as a people, you know, because even though I'm definitely very pro-Black, very Afrocentric, my grandmother was white. And so I've always been about mass appeal and mass impact, not just impact with Black folks, but mass appeal and mass impact. And in order to do that, you've got to be fair-minded. You've got to be just. And in your heart of hearts, and I can honestly say this from the bottom of my soul, I've never rooted against anybody. I might call you out for failing. I might call you out for messing up, but I've never wished that on you. And I've never rooted for anybody to fail. And knowing that I'm that kind of man, it emboldens me and makes me brave enough to call out nonsense when I see nonsense, because I'm not laughing or ridiculing something. I'm saying to that person, damn it, I want you to do better. I don't want you to mess up. I want you to know you messing up, but I want you to correct it, because the same Stephen A. that was sitting here criticizing you is the same Stephen A. that's going to be here praising you when you make amends and you do what the hell you're supposed to do. And when you got that kind of mindset and that kind of vision, that's the kind of thing that uplifts you and propels you to heights unseen. And, you know, to me, that's God's grace speaking to me. I'm not the most religious person in the world, but I believe in my Heavenly Father, and I believe in the strength and the blessings that He's given me. I know that I didn't get here on my own, that He enabled me to be here, and He gave me the greatest mother in the world to help make that happen. And I know she's watching over me, and my family and friends and loved ones are here for me. So I'm going to continue to grind, do the things that I've been doing. But to answer your question directly, what propels me is knowing the platform that I have, the cachet that I have. When when I say stuff, it has an impact. And so that makes me just put my head down, do the work. We sitting there holding athletes and coaches and everybody else accountable every single day. But I'm going to pass the buck. I'm not going to stay on my grind and do what the hell I'm supposed to do. I want them to bring their A game, but I'm not going to try to bring my A game. No, it's not happening. I'm going to do what I ask of others to do. And together we all rise.
I love that, Stephen. And that's why I love you, brother. Anybody built like you, that's always built to inspire, never wish harm upon another, man. I appreciate you. I know I've taken way more time than I was allotted.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm your boy.
Because you talking about the damn Cowboys too much.
You took that time because you wanted to come in my Cowboys.
10 minutes on the Cowboys.
Let me tell you something.
10 minutes. And they still gonna come up short. You ain't going no Super Bowl. You know that, right?
They're
going no Super Bowl. You know that, right?
Oh my God. Oh my God. When they hit that playoffs and they start hitting that ride, they hit that ride towards the end of this year. We're gonna start this with you, but boy, and we're gonna have another one of this with you after this Super Bowl.
I make you a bet, especially, and if it doesn't happen now, it can happen when the fans return back to the stadium. But if the Dallas Cowboys are good enough to find themselves in a Super Bowl, okay, I will, I even if they get to, I don't have to be the Super Bowl, it could be the NFC Championship. And it's in Dallas, I will come and nauseate myself by sitting with you at a Cowboys game. I'll come down and join you.
It
will not happen.
You're going to sit with me in full gear. Mike Irvin jersey, cowboy hat, and some cowboy boots. All in full gear, we will
sit. You don't wear that. Why do I have to? You don't wear that.
Because you are, as you like to say, I just hate it to death. If you hate it so much and you don't see it as ever a possibility, then you ought to be able to say, I'll adorn what I hate so much because I don't see it as a possibility.
That's it.
You say you got 100% back.
That's fair. I'll do it.
That's what we're talking about then.
Cowboy Urban jersey, right? Cowboy boots, cowboy hat. Can I have the cigar?
You can have your cigar. I tell you what, this last thing I had to say to you. Hey, they going to be there. So send your sizes. Send your sizes. Send what size you are, buddy, because you are.
Oh, man. Y'all ain't got it in y'all.
This pick will go viral.
Y'all ain't got it in y'all.
This pick will go viral. You saw we had it in us when you saw week two what's in us. You saw what's in them week two.
It won't happen.
Listen, you will fall. The Cowboys will fall. There
soon,
will be no NFC
soon,
title
as soon
game.
As I learn
there will
how
be no Super Bowl appearance.
In this
will
podcast,
fall.
I'm going to do you just like you did them people on your radio show. I'm going to hit one button and send you away. Bam! As soon as I learn everything, I'm just letting you know, my brother, when I get it all. And from now on, when I introduce you, I will slow it down just like this. I appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
Man, love you, bro.
All right, you too, my man. I want to take this first 88 seconds and just talk to, if I can, the guys in the Dallas Cowboys locker room, because I wore those uniforms. Guys, I want you to understand what it means to put on that uniform and play with the star on the side of your helmet. You see, the Dallas Cowboys, one of the most famous, well-recognized franchises in the world. No matter where you go, people have heard about the Dallas Cowboys. All over this world, they know the Dallas Cowboys is America's team. Great men that have come before both of us built that. They built that by the sweat of their brow. They earned championship banners when they played for this organization, and they built it up to a place where you and I enjoy playing for the Dallas Cowboys. But we also have a responsibility to the men that have come before us. They gave it to us as a champion. It was my responsibility to give them championships back. And that responsibility now falls on you. You have everything you need on this team. It's not about talent. This is now about a promise. A promise that each man on this team must make. One to the other, I will get my damn job done today. I will get my job done today I will get my job done every day. Yes, you have a responsibility, but because of all that we have gone through, you have a great opportunity. Also, we have gone through a global pandemic that has knocked us off our feet. And then we come out of that and we're trying to muster up the strength and the courage to step forward in social justice. And because of the fight that's going on, it has caused a great divide in our country, right here in America. And if you guys in this locker room can band together, come together, fight, scrape, and claw for one another, and win the ultimate prize as America's team, it sends a message to America that we can come together, fight, scratch, and claw together, and win. And win. America's team sending a great message to America. That's pulling America up. You have to understand this opportunity and why it is given to you. So every time you step on a football field, you carry the great history of this organization with you. Earn the moniker in which you were given and go be America's team.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.